Matthew 27 this morning, real quick. Matthew 27. I appreciate the good testimonies of how the Lord can change lives. And we believe in that. If you really truly get saved, your life will change. Amen. That woman come the well, she left her water pot, went back, and God set her free from her sin. And we believe in that because the Bible teaches that. Those that are in Christ, they are a new creature. Behold, all things are passed. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we're thankful that the grace of God can make the difference and change a life. And you say, you one of them preachers believe a person gets saved, they quit drinking and doping? I am one of those kind. And I'm not saying folk won't struggle here and there in their flesh with some of those things, but I do believe the power of the gospel changes lives and sets men and women and boys and girls free. I'm in Matthew chapter number 26. I think I said 27. We'll be preaching from there in just a moment. Look in Matthew 26 and verse number, I tell you what, for sake of time, let's begin reading in verse 57. Stand with me. And seem like there's a struggle going on right now, and we need the Lord to help us. All I know is drop the plow and preach, and let the Word of God do a work this morning. I know this, Brother Chris and Brother Tony's testimony, I think, is trying to help somebody today. You may be here under bad conviction. You've been trying to shake it. You've been trying to, amen, do everything you can to get away from that old-time conviction. And you ain't going to get away from it. God ain't going to leave you alone. Thank God He's long-suffering. He's merciful. And He's going to make you miserable till you give in. And we're thankful for that. We want you to get it settled today. Matthew 26, verse 57. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led Him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed Him afar off on the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put Him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. And at the last came two false witnesses and said, this fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days. The high priest arose and said unto Him, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held His peace, and the high priest answered and said unto Him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tellest whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, He has spoken blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard His blasphemy. What think ye? They answered and said, He is guilty of death. Then did they spit in His face and buffeted Him, and others smote Him with the palms of their hands, saying, Prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is He that smote thee? We'll leave off our reading there. Father, one more time in the name of Jesus, I pray that You'd help us. God, You know this morning what we have need of. You know the crowd that is assembled this morning. And God, we sure do need Your help. And Lord, we're thankful for the good testimonies of the grace of God that changes lives. Lord, thank You, Lord, You didn't leave Tony Lehman like You found him. Thank You, You didn't leave Chris Baum like You found him. Thank You, God, You didn't leave me like You found me. Thank You, God, that You can set men free, Lord, from sin and, Lord, from judgment and condemnation. I pray now the next few moments, Lord, You'd help us to preach the gospel. And God, deliver it, Lord, a heart and a life and a soul this morning. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. If you'll bear with me just a few minutes, we'll be as brief as we can today. These verses we've read this morning are concerned with the trial of Jesus at the home of Caiaphas, the high priest. We understand at the trial that they put him on here in this passage of Scripture. At Brother Chris, it was a mockery. It was a fake trial. They were out, my friend, from the beginning to try to bring Jesus to death, even though they couldn't find any fault in him, only through two false witnesses. And you'll find that the whole trial is centered upon the fact Jesus claimed to be God in the flesh. It's a trial about the deity of Christ. And can I say this morning, He is God in the flesh. And He's not just the Son of God, but He is God the Son. And we understand this morning Jesus is God. And this morning as we come through this, I'm interested in the end of this trial. Caiaphas rends his clothes. And he works the crowd up into a frenzy and accuses the Lord of blasphemy, and the crowd said he is guilty of death. In that moment, understand that this trial was one of anger by the mob that resulted, my friend, in several things. You'll look in verse 67 and you'll find it resulted in the spitting on Jesus. And were so worked up in their anger, and the Bible said, then did they spit in his face. My friend, they ran back. A man being angry and upset at the claims of the Lord being God in the flesh. And there they literally spat upon the Son of God. You'll find it resulted in the smiting of Jesus. As the Bible said, not only did they spit in his face, but that they buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands. And so here the Lord stands before this crowd. And my friend, they're spittle upon his face running down. And my friend, they balled up their fist and they smacked him in the face and they began to slap him around. His face is now, my friend, being swollen. We understand that at the scene before us is going to be that, Brother Jerry, that sets things in motion for the Lord to be taken to Calvary, and there he's going to lay down his leg. And we consider this morning, this crowd has literally started the crucifixion and the bloodshed. Amen, friend, the scene where the Lord is going to lay down his leg. Amen, the spitting upon Jesus, the smiting of Jesus. Notice verse 68. We find the sarcasm toward Jesus. Abel said that they began to say, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? And so they began, my friend, to mock the Lord. Amen, saying, all right, if you're really God in the flesh, then you tell us who was it that smote you. You see, he's blindfolded. A man spittles on his face. His face is swelling from the beating. And my friend, they began to get sarcastic with the Lord and mocking him and ridiculing him. Literally, what they're trying to do is humble him. And my friend, bring him very low. And the same we're reading from this morning, it's very serious as the Lord is getting ready to lay down his leg. And what I'm interested in this morning is the first matter of verse 67, where the Bible said, then did they spit in his face. This morning, notice the significance in spitting upon Jesus' face. If you'll look with me just briefly this morning, the book of Job, and in chapter number 30, in Job chapter number 30, understand this, that Job is speaking in his trial of affliction, and he's speaking how, Brother Chad, turn me up if you went right here, and you'll understand he's speaking about younger people that are walking by it, and they see Job in his affliction. The Bible said in verse number 10, they abhorred me, and as they hate me, they disdain me. He said, they flee far from me, and spare not the spit in my face. What Job is saying is that spitting in one's face, it is a sad, my friend, of disgrace and of hatred. It's an emblem of contempt
Amen. For the one in whom you're spending their faith. And Job said that younger crowd walks bad. And they have a hatred in their heart for me. And so what do? They spit in my face. Brother Rob, that's wet. And they spat in the face of the Lord in Matthew 27. My friend, it was a sign of their contempt and their hatred and their disdain for the Lord God of heaven. I understand this in Numbers and in chapter 12 and in verse number 14. We find the leprosy of Miriam and how that God had healed her. We thank the Lord for that story. But the Lord said to Moses, you need to put her out of the camp for 7 days. That's what would happen if a father spat in his daughter's face. She'd be put out without the camp. And the significance there is that, man, friend, spitting in one's face is lacking of that of being contaminated by the disease of leprosy. It's no small thing to spit in someone's face. In fact, my friend, I think one of the most disgusting things that you could ever do to Gerald Taylor would be to spit in his face. My friend, it's one of the grossest things, one of the most contemptible things, one of the most horrific things that, my friend, one human being could ever do to any other human being. Are you listening? And yet in our passage of Scripture, the Lord is there in front of this mob and this crowd have been worked up. They have, my friend, been worked into a frenzy. And what do? They rear back and they spit in the very face of God. In the very face of God there, the Lord Jesus Christ. This trial that we've read about this morning, as I've said, it surrounds the subject of the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. We understand that according to Isaiah in chapter number 50 and in verse number 5 and 6, it's a prophetical passage where the Bible said, the Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smatters and my cheeks to them, and plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And that's a prophetical passage that my friend tells you in that. And when the Lord came that, down, they would look at him, they would disdain him, they would seek to take his life, and the Lord would not be rebellious against that. He would not turn away from that, and rather he would give his back, my friend, and the smatter said, my friend, he went there, amen, willingly laid down his body to be abused and to be trampled and to be crucified and to be bled that day. And the Bible said that the Lord stood there, and Brother Gerald, he let that crowd spit in his face. He didn't, my friend, he didn't wipe it off. He didn't try to, my friend, turn away. He stood there, my friend, in all the shame and in all the disgrace and in all the horrific sin. And the Lord let that crowd, my friend, treat him in such a way. You say, he knows there's a greater plan. He knows, my friend, that in that moment of time he has begun to take upon him the shame of the human race and all the sin that is associated and typified with spitting in one's face. And we come back to this trial, we know, and my friend, the argument is this. Amen, are you the Son of God? Amen, they come by and one said, hey, I heard him say one day, and if we destroyed the temple, he'd raise it up in 3 days. Over and over in the life of the Lord made no bones about it. He testified at Brother Will, he was God in the flesh. And my friend, he didn't just show up to be a good man. He wasn't like you and I. He was the sinless Son of God. He was the Lamb of God sent from heaven. Amen. For one reason and one reason alone. And that was to take away the sin of the world. Only God could do that. And Jesus was God incarnate. His name is Emmanuel, God with us. with us. And Jesus was the Son of God. Amen. This morning, what I'm interested here for a few minutes is this thought. And though this crowd denied that Jesus was God, amen, he was. And to spit in the face of Jesus was to be spitting in the face of God. And so for a few minutes, if the Lord will help me, I want to preach on that thought on spitting in the face of God. Spitting in the face of God. I know today on Easter Sunday we're supposed to preach about the stone being rolled away in an empty tomb. My friend, I can't get this off my heart. Amen. Listen to me today. I'd rather mind God and preach what God has instructed me. Amen. Than to go through the motion. Amen. And preach what we're to do traditionally. My friend, spitting in the face of God. You say, preacher, that's a horrific scene. How in the world would anybody spit in the face of Christ? How can anybody treat him in such a way? And I say this morning, I'm convinced that my generation does it on a very daily basis. There's a crowd, my friend, this morning sitting here. My friend, you may have never physically done it. You may have never physically spat toward heaven and landed it on the face of God. Amen. But the way we act and the way we live and the lives, my friend, that we bear out, I'm afraid oftentimes that we're as guilty as this crowd was of having spat in the face of God. There's three occasions I want to pull out this morning, and this one being one of them. Look back with me several verses. Amen. The Lord is coming in the Garden of Gethsemane, and there, my friend, he comes into the garden and he begins to pray. He comes ways in the garden. He's got Peter, James, and John. And Kathy says, I want you fellas to wait right here and I want you to pray with me. And the Bible said that he went a little bit further. And the Lord went a little bit further and fell down on his face and began to cry to the Father, knowing. And my friend, the time was come. Knowing, Charlie Ann, and he's getting ready to die. And he comes to the Father and he said, Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. And my friend, in that garden, the Bible said, and he was under such agony, he was under such a stress there in prayer, and he began to sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And my friend, the Lord comes bang, finds the disciples asleep, and says, could you not watch with me another hour? And he turned around and went back, and he began to pray again in agony, praying that the will of the Father would be done. And without going into all the story, the Bible said in verse 47, and while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude, with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, listen now, whomsoever I shall kiss, and that same as he, hold him fast. And my friend, they come rushing into the garden, and the Lord's, my friend, speaking to his disciples, his garments are stained with, as it were, great drops of blood. And in the garden walks a man by the name of Judas, a man who for the last 3.5 years, he's heard the Lord teach, he's witnessed the Lord preach, he's witnessed great miracle after great miracle after great miracle. I mean, he sat in the very feet of the Lord, he's heard the Lord expound the great truths, amen, of the coming hill of Calvary, amen, friend, the gospel plan of salvation, and Judas, my friend, early in that evening had gone to the crowd and hated the Lord, and said, I'll betray him into your hands, 30 pieces of silver, amen. The Bible said as they walked in that garden, and Judas said, here's how you know who he is, Amen. The one that I kiss on the cheekbone is going to be the one you need to take him. And my friend, that's exactly how that it happened. That Judas come in and there brother Rob, he reached down, amen, and he kissed the Lord on the cheek. Amen, friend, as he drew back, amen, I see a little bit of spittle on his cheek from the kiss of the Lord that he made that day. You say, what are you saying, Brother Jeff? I'm saying we spit in the face of God when we betray his love. I mean, man, Judas knew the Lord loved it. In fact, when Judas walked up, amen, the Lord knew what was happening. And Brother Mark, he walked up to him, and he called him his friend. I'm talking about a man who knew, amen, something about the love of God. Amen, one that my friend had been instructed, amen, about the great truths of God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten son. And there Judas said, amen, he betrayed that love, amen, for a greater love in his life, a love of money, a love of fame among the Pharisee crowd. And my friend, he spat in the face of God. You say, preacher, that's horrible. My friend, how many people are sitting here today? Amen, and we've told you God loves you. Amen, we've told you how much that the Lord loved you to death on an old rugged cross for your sin and rise from the tomb because that he loved your soul. And yet how many people this morning have betrayed that love and they have put it off and they said not today. Amen, what are they doing? They're doing no different. And what Judas did, they're walking in and they think their little religion, amen, is kissing the cheek of God. And really every time you walk down, they're betraying the love of God, and you're spitting in his face. I remember all the times, of course, and thank God for the testimonies of Brother Tony and Brother Chris and the lives that God saved them from and how they didn't grow up knowing God. I've got a quite different testimony today. I was a lot like Judas. I was around it and I heard all the stories and I knew what the Bible said that God loved me. Amen. I could quote them all, John 3:16. I could quote most of Romans 5 that God commended his love toward us in the while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Brother Tony, I can't even hardly bear the thought of all the times and I knew it in my head and in my heart I was spitting in the face of God. Amen. I was betraying his love and I'd walk out as lost as a ball in high weeds. And I say today ain't no amount of religion that's going to take you to heaven. Amen. It ain't turning over a new leaf. It ain't coming to church. It ain't singing in the choir. And it ain't being baptized. It ain't even coming and making a confession this morning to the church. And it's about embracing a love of God, Brother Chris. And God loves you and loves you enough to save your soul from hell. Amen. Every time you walk out, you're spitting in the face of God. Betraying his love. Number two in the text we've read this morning in the house of Caiaphas. Amen. Not only when we betray his love, but when we deny his word. Jesus, my friend, John 1:1 said, in the beginning was the Word. A Word was with God and the Word was God. Everything Jesus said was the Word of God. And my friend, he gave them God's Word. Amen. He told them who he was. And Brother Gerald, all through his earthly life, he testified that he and the Father were what? He said on one occasion, the Pharisees, he said, before Abraham your father was, I am. And he was making a statement there, and I am the God of glory. And my friend, we believe that and embrace that today. That trial, my friend, and that trial that's going on, he said, we don't believe it. And what they do, they began to spit in the face of God. And I say, my friend, every sinner that denies the word of God, they're spitting in the face of God. I understand this is a gross sin. I understand to imagine the Lord standing there with spittle running down his face. I don't know how many's there, and there's probably dozens, if not hundreds, there gathered around the Lord. And can you imagine, Brother Danette? And you imagine all that spittle running down his face? Hey, amen. I mean the grossness and the awfulness of it. Hey, amen. As they've walked by one by one and spat in his face. You know what they say yet? Each and every soul that walked by it and spat in his face. They said, "We don't believe your word. We don't believe what you've said. We're not receiving what, amen, you have instructed us." And friend, we do the same in this hour when we deny the word of God. So I've never spit in the face of God. You do every time. Every time the word of God is preached and is said to your soul, and man, friend, there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And the word of God said, repent or perish. Amen. Said to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Every time you walk out the door, every time, my friend, you say no, what you're doing is denying the word of God and you're spitting in the face of God. How many times before I got saved, Danny, did I do that? I don't know how many times it was. It breaks my heart. Think about it. We live in a generation, they don't believe what the Bible said. They don't believe what God has said in his word. Can I say every line is true? Every word is true. Every chapter is true. Every verse is true. Every word is true. Amen, friend. When sinners deny a word of God, it's as if they're spitting in the face of God all over again. You say, "I'd get saved, but I just don't believe in all that sin preaching." Can I remind you, and my friend, the word of God does say there's none righteous, no, not one. Ain't any of us, and my friend, are good. There's none of us that deserve to go to heaven. There's none of us, my friend, that deserve anything from God. And yet God in his word has clearly said, and if you'll repent and you'll believe it, amen, and acknowledge what you are, and acknowledge where you're headed, and acknowledge what you deserve, and God would save you. My friend, our generation, they deny it, they push it off, and what they're doing is spitting in the very face of God. When you betray his love, you're spitting in his face. When you deny his word, you're spitting in his face. Matthew 27, the Lord has been taken from the house of Caiaphas and been brought, my friend, to Pilate. Pilate has sent him to Herod. Herod has now sent him back to Pilate. They have bared his back at Gabbatha's whipping post. And my friend, he's been beaten to a very bloody pulp. I mean, his eyes are swollen from the smatting he's taken. And my friend, his face is still, my friend, covered with blood and with sweat and with spittle. Amen, all down his face. Amen, he comes back. My friend of Pilate, and Pilate said, amen, I think we need to let him go. I find no fault in him. That old Pilate got scared of the crowd. He said, "Listen, I can release one prisoner to you." And he went and he found the worst and the worst he could find. No doubt thinking that crowd would say, "Surely we want Jesus to stay alive. We don't want that thing running around, at one running around in rebellion." And he pulled out a man by the name of Barabbas, and there, my friend, he presented the Lord, and he presented Barabbas, and he said, "Which one shall I release unto thee?" And my friend, with all their hatred and with all their viciousness of the Son of God, they cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him, release Barabbas," said, "and give us Jesus," said. And there, my friend, that day, there was an exchange, said. Amen, the guiltless for the guilty. My friend, the one who is innocent for the one who had already been condemned. And my friend, what a wonderful picture of the grace of Almighty God. And there the Lord never argued. He never opened his mouth. They let him outside of family talk and began that free up there that day to begin to crucify him. The Bible said in Matthew 27 that they planted a crown of thorns upon his head. And that friend, what that face and that head that has already been beaten there and already been swollen there. They went out and listened, friend. It wasn't little thorns there. Charlie Ann, it was him long Middle Eastern thorns there. And there they wove a crown of thorns. They said, you said your king and your God there. Here's your crown. And Gerald there, they thrust that into his head. Amen. I can see as the thorns there. My friend pierce his skin there and bounce off of his skull and come back out. My friend, and the blood begins to pour there down that swollen face there. My friend, the Bible said they went there and they found a purple robe and they put it upon his back. And there they began to put a reed in his hand. And the Bible said they bowed down there and began to mock him all over again there, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," said. "Hail, King of the Jews," said. They smote him in the face, said. And Roman soldiers ran back, said. Amen. The Bible said in Psalm 22, amen, in that prophetical psalm, said. And it was like the bulls of Bashan that can pass him about that day. That literally means, Brother Gerald, said, that they get in a circle around the Lord. And one Roman soldier went red and bust him in the face and knock him down to the ground, and they'd pick him up, and the one on this head, amen, would hit him again, Ned. Amen, friend, they beat him around that circle. Amen, what's he done? He's bringing grace to mankind. He showed up to reveal the grace of God. He showed up in grace to die for them, Ned. And that crowd beat him, Ned, and mocked him, Ned. They put a cross on his back and made him carry it up. The Bible said in Matthew 27, and as his walking, and as he stood in that circle, lived, and in all the scene of Calvary, they began to spit in his face again. What are you saying, Brother Jeff? I'm saying when you reject his grace, you're spitting in the face of God. I mean, he came to love them. He came to die for them. He came to extend grace to the fallen human race. I mean, all of it, said. Amen. Whether born, my friend, in a family on a bar stool, or born to a family on a Baptist church pew. Amen. He came that he made, shed his blood, and in grace redeemed man from their sin. My friend, they crowned it. That day rejected his grace, said, and they crucified him, and they put him to death that day, rejecting the grace of God. And I say, my friend, that men and women and boys and girls, at teenagers, my friend, spit in the face of God. Amen. When we reject his grace, and we consider all he did at Calvary, at Brother Him, we may be saved and redeemed. Amen. The times that he's come by your way and convicted you of your sin and taken you to Calvary, and tried to reveal to you, my friend, just how much that he loves you and just how much that he longs to save you. Every time you reject it, you spit in the face of God. You say, "I don't need Calvary." Well, you're just spitting in the face of God. Let me ask you a question. This is a serious question. This is a very serious question. If you don't need saving and you don't need Calvary, then why in the world did God send his son? If you're so good, why did God give up his only son that, my friend, grace could be extended to the fallen human race? If you're as good as you think you are and so unneedful of the grace of God, why would God have ever even wasted his time with the rest of us? He'd have just, my friend, used you and had a relationship with you. The fact is, we're all sinners, standing in need of the grace of God. And when we reject that grace, amen, we're rejecting what God sent his only begotten Son in the world for. And we spit in his face when we reject that grace.
You say, preacher, I know I need to be saved. Well, there's a difference in that and receiving the grace of God. Preacher, I know I'm going to bust hell wide open if I die where I'm sitting. Well, if you know that, why would you look to heaven and spit in the face of God? Amen. The God that has given His Son and His grace, and His Son has given His blood that you and I might be saved. Why in the world would you walk out them doors knowing what your need is? What I'm going to say may sound kind of harsh, but I'm going to tell you why you do. Because you still disdain the God of heaven. You're still the enemy of God. There is a hatred in your heart. You say, oh, I don't hate God. Well, if you don't, listen, if you're not saved, the Bible said you're an enemy of God. And my friend, you are at enmity with God. That means you're in a hateful war with God. Consider today the cross of Calvary and the grace of God that could set you free and walk out them doors. You might as well, as soon as you open them doors, look up into heaven and say, I'd never do that. That's exactly what we do when we reject the grace of God. Boy, there ain't a lot of shouting in this message, is there? Can I say today, thank God for Calvary. Thank the Lord for all His grace and all His love. Thank the Lord for His Word being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the Word of God. It's the Word, it's His love, it's His grace that makes a difference in the lives of sinners. I want to ask you a question today. Are you saved? Jesus went to Calvary, bled out, was laid in a tomb and rose again the third day so that you could be set free. Please don't spit in His face. Please today receive Him. Take Him as He is. And just as you are, He'll change your life. Father, today help us. Take the Word of the Lord. Take the scene of Calvary and break the hearts of sinner and saint alike. May those of us that are saved be grateful for the long suffering of God that was patient and kind toward us. Lord, so many days we spat in Your face. So many days, Lord, we betrayed Your love for our own sin and our own pride and our own selfishness. Lord, so many days we denied Your Word. Lord, so many days, God, we rejected Your grace. Father, this morning I pray there'd not be one sinner, Lord, that would be guilty of spitting in the face of God. Father, Lord, I pray that You would work and move. Lord, help us today to respond correctly to the mercy and the grace and the Word of God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you stand with me? There's some coming this morning already. Some saints of God coming to pray. I want to ask you the question this morning. Serious question. Serious question. Are you saved? Are you saved? Do you know Jesus as Savior and Lord? Here's the question this morning by uplifted hand. How many say, preacher, please pray for me. I'm not saved. I don't know the Lord. Thank you. Is there another? Preacher, I'm not saved and I don't know the Lord. I know that He loves me. I know what His Word said. I must repent and believe. Preacher, I know that at Calvary He has displayed the grace of God. But preacher, I've never been saved. I'm spitting in the face of God. Preacher, please pray for me. Is there another this morning? Do you know you're saved? Do you know you're saved? Do you know you're saved? Boy, we've heard some good testimonies this morning of the grace of God, the love of God, the Word of God. Amen. Sister Patty, would you come pray with her? I don't know what her need is. Just pray with her. Thank you. Say another this morning. You raised your hand. Some of you in your heart, you know you ought to raise your hand. You know you're not saved. Listen, I ain't preached that long this morning. Been a lot shorter than we usually are. The Word of God's gone out. Here's what I want to ask you to do. Would you receive the Word? Right now, this morning, would you receive His love? This morning, would you receive His grace? Quit being the enemy of God. Faith and repentance come. Trust the Lord. Leave here this morning being the friend of God. Would you come? Would you come this morning? Would you please come this morning? Judas walked in that garden. What looked like a kiss to everybody else, he is spitting in the face of God. So, oh, preacher, I don't want to spit in His face. Well, what are you going to do with His love? That crowd said, we don't believe what that word said. Not going to receive it. Spat in the face of God. Don't be like that crowd around Calvary this morning. You've been that long enough. They said, crucify Him, crucify Him. We'd rather have an old thieving, rebellious sinner be set free than the Son of God. And as He passed by walking through the streets of Jerusalem, they spat on His face, rejecting the grace of God. This morning He'll save you. It's all grace. It's all grace today. But you got to receive it. You got to receive it. Ma'am, you got to receive it. You'll step on out where you are. You come down here, we'll take the Word of God. You can call on the name of the Lord. You can be saved. God bless you, ma'am. Is there another this morning? Listen, do you need to come? Do you need to come today? I'll meet you right here at the front. I'll meet you right here at the front. You got to take the first step. You got to take the first step. Boy, I'm going to tell you something. Since Brother Tony testified a little while ago, I'm convinced, Brother Joe, God's wanting to save somebody this morning. God wants to save you this morning. Brother Chris' testimony just picked it right up of what God can do with those that have received the grace of God. Play one more verse, sister. I don't know if this would be it or not. God's working. Sir, won't you come? Say, preacher, just too embarrassed. What's people going to think if I come? Well, if they're saved, they're going to think, man, that's what I was. Thank God He made the difference in my life, and they're going to rejoice. They're going to rejoice. Ain't nobody, I'm looking around, I can't imagine one person looking down on you for coming and being saved by the grace of God. I really can't. Don't turn Him away. Sister Candy, one more, and this is it. This is it right here. Ma'am, you know you need to come.
I'm begging you, come. I'm begging you, come. God's begging you to come. Calvary begs you to come.